Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of the show, 1 o'clock on the East. Thanks for spending your Tuesday with us here on your lunch hour, our work hour. Craig Mitch Davis Maddock. It is the 22nd of June, 2021. We got a big game tonight in the NBA. We're going to preview that for you coming up here in just a little bit. But first, here are our headlines here on the show. You heard Chris's, here are ours. Tonight, it is Phoenix and the Los Angeles Clippers. We'll see what Devin Booker can do, continue this march toward the NBA Finals. Game time a little bit late on the late side for me tonight, but we'll see if I can make it through the end. Kawhi Leonard, by the way, not going to play in this one. Chris Paul also not going to play for Phoenix, so the two big stars out of this game. Game five tonight in the NHL's Western Conference Finals between Vegas and Montreal, so should be an exciting matchup there. In Davis, we're getting some announcements here for Team USA's basketball roster filling up. I know that a lot of the news is surrounded today around Ben Simmons, who's not going to play today and who's going to work on his game. But let's move away from the negative and let's go to the positive. What do you make of some of the commitments that are going to be playing on Team USA? Because, you know, when the Olympics starts, there are a lot of people who may not be into some of the sports, but I think we all really have enjoyed basketball through the years.
Yeah, and I think we've gotten commitments from a lot of the guys that we wanted to see the commitments from. So Dame's going to play, Draymond's going to play, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bam Adebayo and James Harden. LeBron is out. Anthony Davis is out. Steph Curry is out. Donovan Mitchell also said that that he is not going to be playing. But I mean, honestly, I kind of enjoy when we get a little bit of new blood with USA men's basketball. So I think Devin Booker playing is going to be cool. He did not play in the FIBA World Cup. I think that was in 2018. Devin Booker didn't play, so that'll be cool to see Devin Booker playing alongside these guys. And also Draymond without Steph. I kind of like to see, you know, I would love to see, of course, them play the small ball center lineups with Draymond at center against some of these other teams. And of course, I mean, look, Kevin Durant against some of these other countries, like, you know, Kevin Durant against Argentina or Kevin Durant against Spain. Like, he just is so otherworldly. And some of these nations literally just do not have anyone capable of guarding him. And of course, it'll probably depend on how Kevin Durant's body is feeling right now, because, you know, he just laid it all on the line to try and get his team through two rounds of the playoffs, that seven game war against the against the Milwaukee Bucks. And then honestly, I don't know how qualifying works for men's basketball, but I really am excited to see Greece play. I don't know if they're in or if they aren't, but isn't Greece fascinating with they have Giannis, who is one of the 10 best basketball players on the earth. But I love to see the superstars play with a bunch of guys who are playing for, you know, Panathinaikos in Greece or whatever, or playing over in the EuroLeague. Like, I always find those storylines to be really cool to watch.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, I mean, in general, the U.S. has had a lot of success. I believe there was one go-around where they did not. But, you know, you talk about, you know, me like dating myself, and I know that Davis, this is, you know, way before, this is way before your time, even way before Brett's time, I believe. I'm pretty sure everybody's time here, that when I was a kid and they announced the USA Olympics was going to be back, US players were going to play for the first time in the NBA, everyone talks about the dream team. I'm sure Davis, you saw it in The Last Dance when all those guys got together and there was this big beef with Isaiah Thomas, whatever. So when they made that announcement, Davis, and then we got close to the summer, the best part about the dream team was even before it happened, because I believe it was McDonald's. I don't think it was Burger King. I think it was McDonald's. McDonald's, they had the dream team cups. So you would have to literally go either to the drive-thru, or you'd have to go buy a meal at McDonald's, and you would get a cup of your favorite dream teamer, you know? So it was Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Ewing, Drexler, I want to say, was on the team. And so we all, me and my friends, every single day, even though we didn't even really want to go to McDonald's, we would go just to see if they had like the new cup that day. And here we were in South Florida driving all around to the different places to get it. And then, like, the worst part about it, Davis, was that, and no offense to Christian Laettner, but Christian Laettner was, like, the one college player on the team. And so, naturally, He was the one we were like, oh, we got Christian Laettner, you know? So, that was my dream team story, going back to McDonald's. Maybe they'll do it again.
I wonder if they will have a college player here. And I may be misremembering this, but I believe they brought Anthony Davis to one of the summer tournaments before he was drafted. And I know that at least one college player went to the FIBA championships the last time they happened, but I think that would be cool. And then also, clearly the funniest thing about the US men's team is that, and again, I don't remember which Plumlee brother it is, but one Plumlee brother always comes. I'm pretty sure it's Mason. I think it is Mason Plumlee that comes as like the 15th guy, because, you know, Coach K is so involved with the team and the Plumlees are all Duke boys, but they always bring a Plumlee. And so I just have always found that to be very funny, especially considering you don't even really want to play a center with FIBA rules.
Right. Yeah. And back when the original Dream Team, I think I mentioned some of the players. I mean, David Robinson was on the team, Patrick Ewing. I mean, they had a ton of centers on those teams. So, yeah, I mean, international rules certainly have changed that. And you're right. I mean, when I look at this list, I see Bam, Durant. Is there anyone else over 6'10"?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
On this team, I don't think so. So, all right, we got to take a quick break on fantasy sports today. When we come back, we'll hear from Jacob DeGrom of the New York Mets. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. On Monday, Jacob DeGrom broke the record for the most consecutive starts, giving up two earned runs or less. And it's just another record on a long line of what could be potential records for him in 2021 with an ERA under one, chasing down the Cy Young Award and the Most Valuable Player. He was asked about breaking that record last night.
It's kind of the goal. You know, I have a pretty set routine that I stay with and try to stay consistent in between and take it out there on the field. And, you know, like I said, when Anthony asked me the question, and it's a pretty boring answer, but honestly, that's how I take the mound. It's one pitch at a time. And, you know, once the ball leaves your hand, it's out of your control. And then you get the ball back, whatever that result was, and you focus and try to make the next pitch. You know, I said it previously, in years past, you know, dwelling on something that had already happened and getting angry out there doesn't seem to help me. So try to stay, you know, level-headed out there and make the pitch I need to at that time.
Well, look, at this point, it's fair to say, Davis, that DeGrom is on his way to the Cy Young Award and maybe the MVP. And as we approach the halfway point of the season, I thought it would be a good idea for us to take a look back and wonder if we were redrafting again right now, how that would look. And as far as DeGrom is concerned, I think he's moved up into the range of potentially being the number one overall pick in fantasy. But the issue that we've had, Davis, is that everyone's getting hurt, you know? And it's like, it's a little bit scary to take a pitcher that throws every 5 days as opposed to a hitter. And that was sort of the fight that I was having with myself here, figuring out, could I actually pull the trigger and take Jacob DeGrom first overall in a fantasy draft? And as we're going to see here, the answer is still no. But I'm very close. I am very close to saying, you know what? He's just so much better than everybody else.
He is so much better than everyone else. Now, obviously, he has not made the maximum amount of starts, but it doesn't really matter. I think he's probably missed the total of, I think, five starts of it had he pitched from day one. And he's gone shorter than full innings in a couple of them as well, had to be pulled early. Now, granted, one of the starts where he got pulled early, he went, he faced nine batters and struck out all nine of them and did not allow anyone on base. So that's pretty good for your ratios, pretty good for your whip. I was thinking about this as well. DeGrom just cannot be number one for a couple reasons. You know, first being time missed, second being he's been banged up. So generally speaking, pitcher injuries tend to kind of trail one another. So when a starting pitcher gets hurt and then they keep pitching, you probably feel like they are going to get hurt again. And that same logic, I think, applies for Tatis as well, which is why he was a little bit lower in my rankings as well. But I mean, look, if you said DeGrom has been so much better than every other pitcher, and I guarantee you he makes every start for the rest of the season, he probably is the number one pick if we were to start drafting fantasy baseball today.
Yep, I think you just said it, and we don't know. But if we did know he is the number one overall pick, it's just the hesitation of the injury factor that is there. So let's take a look at it. We're redrafting today on the 22nd of June, and here is the top five for me. Maybe we'll go a little bit deeper into this at the halfway point of the season, but for now, this is what I got. Look, the home runs and steals for Acuna, you know, I mean, DeGrom may win the MVP, and if he doesn't, it's Acuna. He's worthy of the number one overall pick. He has to be. Look, Tatis plays the premium position, so if his numbers were the same as Acuna and had no issue with his shoulder, I probably would put him number one, but I just can't do it. In leagues where you can use Ohtani as the pitcher and the hitter, I could make the case for Ohtani being number one overall, but I don't know how that's going to play out the rest of the season. So I have him at three. I could put him at two. As you see here, I have DeGrom at number four overall. And then Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's going to probably have the highest batting average and maybe hit the most home runs, but doesn't play that premium position, is at number five for me here, Davis. So look, I think that these are top five in a tier by themselves. And usually when we're doing fantasy baseball, at least for me, like I like to put guys in tiers. I'm sure in football you do it as well. And it's very rare for me to have a tier of five. Like I think all five of those, if you took number one, I would be okay with it. It's almost like when Trout was number one for those years, like he was in a tier by himself and then it was everyone else. But I don't think so this year. I think those five I could put all together.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think there is a big tier drop after that. You know, I think that these five guys have out-earned everyone else in terms of roto value. In fact, when you look at the ESPN player rater, which is one of the things I looked at to do this, these five guys are like a clear tier ahead. Like they basically add up everyone's roto value and then use a divisor. And just as you would expect, these five guys are clearly ahead of the rest of the list. Some of the other guys in the top 10, Bo Bichette, Whit Merrifield, Trey Turner, Kevin Gausman, very surprising, and Marcus Semien are all up there as well. One of the things I was thinking was there has to be a way eventually, guys at the NFBC, guys doing these fantasy baseball leagues, there absolutely has to be a way to figure out an even distribution for Shohei Ohtani's points. You need to be able to start him as a hitter, but still get his pitching points. Because Shohei Ohtani, this is not like when Madison Bumgarner hits a home run. This is not like when Jacob deGrom laces a double up the gap and everyone celebrates it. This is an entirely different animal. So what you need to be able to do is when you are starting Shohei Ohtani in your weekly lineup, the way you have to decide right now is, do I want to start Ohtani as a hitter? Do I want to start Ohtani as a pitcher? There needs to just be a Shohei Ohtani slot that when you draft Ohtani on your team, you get his pitching stats. Maybe the fairest way to do it is on the day where he pitches, you don't get his pitching stats or you don't get his hitting stats. So, you know, like one time a week, you won't get his hitting stats, but then every other day of the week, you get his hitting stats. And I think if that were true, Ohtani would be the number one pick, right? I mean, we're talking about a guy who's going to hit 40 home runs, going to steal 20 bases, going to hit 280, and he's going to get in 20 starts. I mean, that is the number one guy in fantasy baseball if you were able to get all of those stats on your team.
Yeah, I mean, he's the number one player in fantasy sports history. Forget about baseball, in all sports, basketball, football, baseball. I mean, it's the equivalent of having a wide receiver and a quarterback playing for you in fantasy football. All right, give me your top five here.
So my top five was a little different. I was with you. I had Acuna one. I put Tatis at number two, or I put Ohtani at number two, Tatis at number three because of those pitching stats. I think so many pitchers have gotten injured, right? We just talked about DeGrom missing starts. You know, so many guys have been hurt, missed time. You know, you have your Luis Castillos and your Lucas Giolitos who way underperformed their preseason projections. So I think the fact that Ohtani outprojected his hitting stats and is outperforming his projected pitching stats, I think he's number two. Then I have Tatis. Then I have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And then our big difference was I had DeGrom there at five. Because one of the things I was thinking was, yeah, DeGrom has been amazing, and he clearly has. But the Tatis, Acuna, Otani grouping, those guys give you irreplaceable stats. They give you good batting average. They give you power. They give you steals. They give you all five categories. DeGrom, great as he is, I mean, just the way that fantasy baseball is played, he can only give you four categories. He can't add saves to that. So I think the five category over the four category gives him the bump.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. You named some of those other players on the ESPN player rating, and I'm totally in agreement. Like, I think those other players that you mentioned are, like, close to that tier, but they're not in it. And for the first time in a while in fantasy, normally you can do this with two or three, but you really have almost five interchangeable players that you can make a case for with the number one pick. And boy, that has changed from early on in the exhibition season when we were talking about Juan Soto being in the top five and Mookie Betts and Mike Trout and trying to create tiers. Who knows what this list will look like in 2022, but I think that that is a pretty good way to go if you're planning on jumping back into the NFBC next month. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Our series continuing here in the month of June, our early look at the fantasy football season. We basically are essentially, we're probably less than 2 months away from, I think, the average person doing a fantasy football draft, a month away from us really picking up the discussion. So today's discussion is really compelling because it's the New Orleans Saints. And when you talked about the Saints, Davis, for the last 10 years, it started and ended with Drew Brees and just kind of the pieces that were with him through the years. Darren Sproles and Marquise Colston. And I mean, they've had so many players that were so relevant in fantasy because of Drew Brees. Like, he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame first shot when he's eligible in 5 years from now. But now it's all done. And now Sean Payton's going to have to earn it a little bit here this year, because while it looks like they have a clear-cut starting quarterback, I am not so sure. I don't know that the Saints have their answer at quarterback going into the season.
Well, I think they do have their answer. First off, I think that they're going to be the first NFL team that rolls a platoon at quarterback, and they do it over the entire season, and they do it effectively. Taysom did a decent job as a passer last season. They went 3-1 in the games he started. He only threw 4 touchdown passes, but actually averaged more yards per attempt than Drew Brees did. They were good in the Taysom Hill games. And you don't have to go that far back to Jameis Winston leading the NFL in passing yards. Of course, he also led the NFL in interceptions over that time frame. I imagine that there are going to be some philosophical differences between Jameis Winston and his head coach, Sean Payton. I think that probably Sean Payton is going to want Jameis to kind of take it easy. That's not really what Jameis Winston does. He likes to push the ball down the field, which is, of course, great for fantasy. That is what we want. I mean, the time when Jameis was the quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mike Evans was having great seasons. Chris Godwin was having great seasons. If you want to go all the way back to Jameis's rookie year, guys like Doug Martin and Vincent Jackson were having, you know, good fantasy impactful performances. So I think regardless of who starts between Taysom or Jameis, the offense is going to be better for fantasy than it was for Drew Brees. You know, all due respect to Drew Brees, but at the end of his career, the last two seasons, couldn't push the ball down the field. They couldn't really do play action because Brees was having trouble, you know, rolling out of the pocket the way he used to when he was younger. I think the Saints have an incredibly high ceiling. A lot of it comes down to what is up with Jameis. Can Jameis limit the turnovers at all?
Yeah, and I think that going into the year, there's a chance that this will probably be the biggest disagreement that we'll have going into the season, because I think that Winston became infinitely more popular for not playing. And I think that people don't remember just how poorly he played at the end of his Bucs tenure. Great for fantasy, no question about it. Playing in fantasy leagues without picks, getting negative points. I mean, there's nothing negative you could say about the guy. But I don't think that his game is going to work. And I don't think that he gets in 16 games with the Saints this season. He may reel it in at the beginning because it's probably the only shot that he's got. And I don't even know that Taysom Hill is the answer either. But I am not going to draft Winston in any fantasy league this season just because I've seen this story before. I've seen him bench for Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was just not nearly as talented as Winston. And maybe that was not the right decision at the time either. But for fantasy, he was great, no question. But I think that some reality is going to creep in here. And Winston, essentially, who is he? Winston is Brett Favre. And you cannot be Brett Favre in this day and age of the NFL. It's just, they're not. Maybe you can. Maybe Sean Payton will allow it. I don't think that he will. And I think that the plug is pulled. And I think Taysom Hill ends up being the guy. And if not, maybe somebody else. Maybe Ian Booker, they drafted, who, by the way, was pretty good at Notre Dame. So maybe there's a future there, too. So we'll see as we get closer on this disagreement. But at running back, Davis, there is no disagreement that Alvin Kamara is just a monster when healthy. There is no doubt about it. And I guess that the protection here is you draft Latavius Murray to go along with him just in case something happens to Alvin Kamara. But I would guess that in best ball, he's still, what, top 5 pick in fantasy football?
Yeah, I mean, he goes, kind of depending on the draft. It's Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, and then everyone else. That is the top tier of these drafts. Alvin Kamara, 83 receptions, 756 yards, 21 touchdowns last season, led the NFL in touchdowns after having only 6 touchdowns in 14 games the year before. Not really anything amazing to say about Alvin Kamara. He is amazing. He is fantastic. Assuming the New Orleans Saints offense is able to stay on schedule without Drew Brees, with Jameis Winston, with Taysom Hill, he is clearly going to be one of the best assets in fantasy football. And I do like drafting Latavius Murray, you know, not when I draft Alvin Kamara, but definitely you do like taking Latavius Murray 11th, 12th round. Like, you know, if you draft Derrick Henry, you take Latavius Murray. If Alvin Kamara gets banged up, you know you're going to have a locked and loaded running back one sitting in there. I mean, Latavius Murray, when Alvin Kamara does not play, basically just subs in and does the exact same job and is great at the goal line. I mean, maybe Latavius is slowing down a little bit. I believe that he is 30 years old now. If he's not, he's pretty close to it. But no signs of stopping for him last season. And continue to feel good about both of these running backs in the Saints backfield.
Okay, so at wide receiver, you have a former top 5 pick in fantasy football to a player that didn't score a touchdown last year. So this has got to be, Davis, I'm guessing when you're doing your research, one of the biggest, at least, questions going into the season. What in the world happened to Michael Thomas, who was hurt, who was suspended, who was ineffective from start to finish all of last year? Of course, they have Tre'Quan Smith. Everyone's still waiting for him. So am I. I have him in a dynasty league. I mean, I'm seeing this dude Jefferson come in the league and get 1,500 yards. Why can't Tre'Quan Smith do it? I'm not sold on him. And then there's a bunch of names here that you'll have to review with me here to tell me if there's any chance someone jumps into the mix. Because if Michael Thomas is not who he was, then someone is going to, I would think, score 6-7 touchdowns and get close to 1,000 yards this year. But I don't see any veterans on the Saints this year.
Yeah, you really don't see any. I mean, even at the tight end position, they moved on from Jared Cook. Back in, if we want to rewind all the way back to April, I really expected the Saints to be one of the teams to select a wide receiver with their pick in the first round. They did not do that. You know, they didn't choose to invest in any of these younger guys coming in. That depends. It remains to be seen if that is a mistake. Tre'Quan Smith, yeah, I mean, basically, he has been in the NFL way longer than I think. He 2018, 2019, 2020. Last year was the most he ever played, 50 targets, 448 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's mostly been fine, but there is no Manny Sanders. There is no veteran wide receiver here. It's going to be sink or swim for Tre'Quan. Marquez Callaway played a little bit at the end of last season, as did DeJuan Johnson. Neither one of those guys are amazing. Deonte Harris is a gadget player, you know, kind of in that Dexter McCluster style role. Don't see a huge avenue for him to fantasy relevance this year, but I've been wrong on these things before.
And so Michael Thomas, have you taken Michael Thomas in these best balls at all? What's the deal?
I think he's a huge value because I just said, look, I'm ready for Jameis to unleash the beast. And I think Taysom will be fine. I am gobbling up Mike Thomas in the third round of these drafts. I am all over it. I think he is clearly a massive value in best ball right
now. Okay. And at tight end, Adam Trautman. I've heard of Trautman. I've heard of Nick Vinette. I believe Vinette was on Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. They tend to use the tight end near the goal line. Is there any value with these two guys? Wow, 170 yards for one and 95 for the other. That's not a lot.
Yeah, so it is a very weird situation. Like, I feel like the Saints are kind of like a team where if you had a crystal ball and you could figure out the statistics of any team, mm-hmm. I feel like you might ask for it to be the New Orleans Saints because this has historically been a super productive offense. They play in the Superdome, right? So we know, like, look, points just get scored there. No bad weather. It's in the turf. They play again. They have other high-scoring teams in the division. The Buccaneers, we think, are going to be a high-scoring team. The Carolina Panthers have this terrible defense that didn't really get much better. The Atlanta Falcons, terrible defense, didn't get much better. And so I think Trautman is fascinating in the sense of, like, I don't think Trautman is, like, this incredibly good player. But he clearly has this giant role because you're right. The Saints do use the tight end. They do use the tight end in the red zone. Jared Cook had good numbers there. Of course, Jimmy Graham, legendary good numbers there. And the overall scheme of the New Orleans Saints offense shouldn't be that much different. Also, can you ever recall another NFL player coming from Dayton? Because that's where Adam Trautman played his college football. And he was selected in the third round, 105th overall. Did play a little bit last year, 15 receptions, 171 yards, and a touchdown. Got on the field as a rookie tight end, which in general, that's a pretty big signal. Like, if you can get on the field, that generally means you have some kind of future potential. But Dayton Flyer Adam Trautman, I don't know. I take him a bunch, but I have no idea if he's any good.
Yeah, I mean, Dayton for basketball, clearly, yeah. But no, not for the NFL. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. If you could sort of forecast one team with the numbers at the end of the year, four quarterback, four receiver, four tight end, it may be the Saints that you would want to know because it is perplexing to me to see. By the way, their wide receiving core. Look, Breeze made receivers. I mean, Devery Henderson, Colston, I can keep going with names of players that have performed at a high level for them. And to think that it may be one of these guys here that we just discussed is really interesting. Okay, fantasy reality is coming up next. Our producer, Brett Levy's got some burning questions for us, including Wander Frank.
Want to try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitive.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Making his major league debut tonight. In addition to that, concerts are back around the country. Will Davis and I be attending any of them? And also, it's the end of an era for late night television. We'll answer some fantasy reality questions coming up next right here on Sports Grid. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. We're going to bring in our producer, Brett Levy, for some fantasy or reality. But just one quick question for Davis here before we go to fantasy or reality. I'm going to read you the name of someone, and I want you to just tell me without Googling if you have any clue who the person is, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
The name is Lars Nootbaar, Nootbaar.
No clue. I'm going to guess he is Nordic, and Lars, I'm going to guess that he is from Sweden.
Okay, I have never heard of Lars Nootbaar, but apparently he's on the St. Louis Cardinals, and he has been recalled from AAA. He is an outfielder, and he's wearing number 68. He is going to be with the Cardinals tonight in Detroit. So not someone yet to consider for DFS. I go to see the Cardinals and Marlins play in spring training all the time. I have never heard of Lars Nootbaar, but he's on the Cardinals, and he is an outfielder. So there you have it. You learn something new every day. Speaking of which, our producer, Brett Levy, he's shaved. He's got a nice shirt on. He's ready to roll with some fantasy or reality in our studios in New York City. What's going on, Brett?
Hey, Craig. How's it going? A nice sunny day here in New York City. So we go to the office, and another guy going to the office today. First time at a big league ballpark, Wander Franco. The Rays take on the Boston Red Sox tonight, and we got to ask, because it's a debut game for one of the top prospects, if not the top prospect in Major League Baseball. Davis, we'll start with you. Rays rookie Wander Franco will hit a home run in his debut tonight. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, I hope that it's a reality because I love these stories. I still remember Jason Hayward hitting a home run in his first at-bat as a member of the Atlanta Braves on opening day. It was an amazing story, amazing moment, very cool for Jason Hayward. It was pretty much downhill after that. But I love when these dudes come up. their first plate appearance, their first game, and they come out swinging. You know, Franco is more of like a 20 home run guy than a 40 home run guy, going to hit a lot of doubles in Major League Baseball. But, you know, I hope he hits a home run. I'll say reality just because it's more fun for him to hit a home run in this game. It's going to be a reality, Craig.
Yeah, he's facing a lefty to start, so it's I don't know that it would happen initially, but I'm going to join you on this one. I normally I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to say reality too, some late inning heroics, and I'm just going to follow the narrative of the Tampa Bay Rays. I know they've lost six games in a row. I understand that, but in general, everything they touch, most things they turn to gold. Things that they touch. I'm going to go with Wander Franco hitting a home run. And I'm going to say it'll happen in the seventh inning tonight in their game against Boston. I don't think he'll hit a home run off Eduardo Rodriguez, and Rodriguez usually is a five- or six-inning pitcher. So I'm going to say reality. I'll root for it tonight. Rays, I mean, how do they end up with the top prospect in baseball after everything that they accomplished? So reality for me, Brett, as well. Franco homers tonight.
All right. I'm definitely rooting for it also. But our next question, Sunday night in New York City, we had a full capacity concert at Madison Square Garden. The Foo Fighters and actually Dave Chappelle made it onto stage. So it was a lot of fun, a big event in New York City. But we got to ask, and Craig, we'll start with you. You will attend an indoor concert in 2021. Craig, is this a fantasy or reality?
It's a really interesting question because I saw this story from Sunday, and that's why we're talking about it today with no other context. I just thought, okay, like I don't have any plans. And then as we're doing this show today, about 45 minutes ago, I get a text from my wife. Now, this is, again, shows my age here. You know, Mike Cardano, Greg Sussman, like those guys will understand this. But Hall and Oates, Daryl Hall and John Oates apparently are coming to South Florida and they're playing at the Seminole Hard Rock. And apparently these tickets are going on sale Friday and my wife is like, let's go. So, you know what? I may have said fantasy because we did not have any plans and we're already halfway through the year. But the tickets go on sale Friday and I have a feeling my wallet's going to get smashed here. And I'm going to say reality. I'm going to end up going to see Hall and Oates. Now, even if I don't get the tickets through buying them, you know, there is a I've been here long enough to have a connection or two to get that worked out. But I'm going to say reality. I'm going to be at a concert this year in September for sure.
Yeah, this will be a reality for me as well. You know, I don't know how many of them, but I really enjoy live music. I've gotten to see some cool old classic bands. Got to see the Eagles a couple years ago in Kansas City at what was then the Sprint Center. Now it is the T-Mobile Center. Had great floor seats for that. They were amazing. I remember. I don't remember the name of the guitarist, but he had broken his foot the day before. So he was out there wheeling around with his foot up on like a little scooter, which was very funny considering, you know, you're watching a bunch of 70-year-old dudes play 30-year-old right. rock songs. It was just that was very funny, but it was cool to see. I actually, just before we started the show, a rapper I really like, Jack Harlow, who is buddies with Tyler Herro down there in Miami. So maybe Craig would have heard him, probably not. But he is going to be in St. Louis in September. He will be performing at, you know, an indoor event. I'm pretty sure that I am going to get tickets with some of my buddies to go see him. And I imagine that if, you know, other guys I like start to tour and come around here and I don't have to, you know, journey. It's an amazing thing about living in a big city. You know, I grew up in a smaller city having to drive hours if I wanted to go do anything. Mm-hmm. It's cool that it can just be a Thursday night. Oh, I can go see this guy. Like, it's 15 minutes away from my house. I can be back in bed by 11 o'clock. Like, that's a win-win-win. So this is a definite reality for me. I will be at an indoor concert.
Yeah, I will too. How about you, Brett? Are you, what do you think for you in 2021? You think you'll be at a concert?
I don't know. I do not have any plans to go see any concerts as of yet. The last concert I went to may have been Kenny Chesney up at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. So that was fun. at a casino, and they have a nice arena in there that the WNBA Connecticut Sun play at as well. So it was a cool little venue for a big name like that. Our next question, Conan O'Brien, it's his last week on late night TV. He leaves TBS for HBO Max. He's going to do a weekly variety show. After almost 30 years of hosting late night TV, starting with the Late Night with Conan O'Brien show in the 1990s. So we got to ask, Davis, we'll start with you. Conan O'Brien is a late night legend. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So it is a reality. I mean, Conan is kind of like a mythical figure in the world of entertainment, right? People ascribe a lot of the success of the early Simpsons seasons to him, even though, you know, he was kind of like a joke writer, but he was not really filling out a lot of the bones of those classic episodes of The Simpsons that we think of as great. You know, he spent a lot of time laying his dues. However, and I gotta give Craig a little bit of crap on this one. Late night talk shows are not for people of my generation. The 28-year-olds are not watching Late Night with Craig Ferguson or Conan O'Brien show. People my age probably mostly don't even remember Dave Letterman. They definitely don't remember Johnny Carson, who was like, when Johnny Carson was in his pomp, that he was like the guy in America. Everyone watched Johnny Carson. Everyone knew Johnny Carson's show, knew his guests. And it is this kind of outdated model of like, well, people, when they have something to promote, they go on late night TV. Oh, I got a book coming out. I got a movie coming out. I go on there. But now people go on podcasts. When you have something coming out, when you're trying to sell something, you go on podcasts. And podcasts, to me, I listen to multiple podcasts every single day. Like, that is my late night TV. And I think that is true for many people my age. Not to disparage Conan O'Brien. You know, I do think this is a reality, but it's a reality for people of a different generation.
Yeah, and I think that is fair. I was more of, even though I was aware of Johnny Carson, it would have been when I was 9 years, you know, too young to stay up for those, but very aware of his existence at the time. I was more of the David Letterman, Jay Leno, and then especially in college, Conan O'Brien. So there's a lot of people that are now talking about this and saying the names that we just rolled off there. Oh, he's not Johnny Carson, and he's not Jay Leno, and he's not David Letterman. Look what happened with him at NBC, where Leno just basically took his spot. Like, that's part of his story. But there's no question, to do anything as long as he has done goes into legendary status. And it's the same conversation, I think, for, like, being in the Hall of Fame in professional sports. You guys are all in the Hall of Fame. Does it matter if you're a first ballot or second ballot or third ballot? Conan O'Brien is with those legends. So, yes, for me, there is no doubt. Now, I don't watch it nearly as much as I used to, and Davis basically illustrated all the good points. I mean, everything's available on YouTube now. Everything's available on podcasts, and I don't have to stay up at night. But I would disagree with one point. I mean, Davis, those shows are still very popular. I mean, Jimmy Fallon is still very popular. Jimmy Kimmel is still very popular. Those shows do very well. Now, it may not be the taste to stay up that late and watch them. Personally, I don't watch them at all either. But I would say that both of those shows are still wildly popular. I think Seth Meyers is on a show too. But I don't think that any of them will ever reach Conan O'Brien status. I don't think that they'll go that long because of the reasons that you're illustrating right now. In 10 years from now, will they be relevant? I don't think so.
You know what, though? I feel like late night programming is such an institution inside of the entertainment industry that these shows are never going away. Late night, they will find ways to put late night TV on, you know, streaming services. And I think that actually already happens. Like, I bet a lot of people watch their late night shows on Peacock or on you know, Paramount Plus or where or even through Hulu. Like, I know I remember reading that most people who engage with Saturday Night Live don't watch Saturday Night Live through cable. They watch it on Hulu, which is where it is distributed, you know, via a streaming platform. And I think that Saturday Night Live, not really a cultural institution anymore. When you see Saturday Night Live, you see like 2 minutes of it, and you see it on Twitter. You see it via like a dissemination of it, because no one's watching I mean, these late night shows, they're like 2 hours long. Like there are these whole involved things. And like, I mean, I'm sure that there are people watching it. The numbers suggest that there are people watching it. I just don't know anyone who actually is. But like, also probably late night shows are like great background noise. Like you just, okay, it's 9 o'clock. I'm going to go get in bed. And I put on Late Night with Conan O'Brien or whoever. Like that's kind of how it functions.
Yeah, a lot of those are DVR fodder for me at this point. Saturday Night Live is still part of a function of something that I'll watch if it's like some knockout guest. And it's only for the first half hour and I'm out. But if it is some knockout guest to tune in, see a monologue, see the first few skits, I mean, they understand, Davis, that if that the first few skits on Saturday Night Live are not good, no one's going to watch the rest. So usually they pile those in at the very beginning to draw you into the rest of the show. But definitely a different era, and I definitely will be, I don't know if I'll be watching it live, I 100% will watch Conan's final show, no question. I want to see at least what ended up happening on there. So, all right, from late night to the end of our show, we got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next, so make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid. We go back from pop culture to a little bit of sports as we wrap up here on this Tuesday. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
SportsGrid.com. Davis and I, of course, will be right back here tomorrow recapping the Suns and Clippers and then previewing game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll see just how far the Milwaukee Bucks and Atlanta Hawks can go. Let's turn it over to Davis and close us out with the Sports Grid 60. Davis, what do you got?
All right. Well, we made it through 97% of the show. Not nary a mention of the European Championship happening, of course, amongst all the European teams playing for global supremacy in soccer. So, of course, I'm going to mention my game to bet today. Croatia is playing. They are plus 140 to win their game against Scotland. Scotland is going to be without their best player from their second game due to COVID testing protocols. They're still trying to figure that stuff out over there. And of course, we knew that COVID was going to rear its ugly head at some point. Croatia absolutely has to win this game to advance. So sometimes you worry about your needs not aligning with the needs of the team. They absolutely have to win this game to advance past the group stages. So we are on Croatia plus 140 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to beat Scotland, and looking forward to an afternoon full of some great soccer overseas.
All right, I'll keep an eye on the Euro Cup. Something to mention for me on the way out, we have had a really tough year plus, especially 2020 was really tough with all the negativity. But I am convinced that people just love negativity, and that's what we focus on. I mean, for the life of me, and I don't watch a ton of like national sports. I watch our channel. I watch some of the things that are happening. But there has been more Ben Simmons talk on radio and television than anything else going on in sports. And I guess that's what must move the needle, because for me, it's like great to have sports back and have all these wonderful things happening and Jon Rahm winning the U.S. Open. No. All we care about is that Ben Simmons couldn't put up a shot in the fourth quarter and refused to dunk. I understand it. And that's what's going to sell. And that negativity is what's going to make it. But I got to tell you, here on this show, I'm a lot less interested in that and trying at least to find some positivity as what's going on here as we move forward in 2021. Yuck for you guys on Ben Simmons. Enough. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to Connell, of course, Spencer, our intern, Brett, Danny, and Ryan. For Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. See you tomorrow at noon. Have a great day.